Isaiah 54, verse 2. Notice what the Bible said. God's speaking to his people, Israel, and he is saying something very specific to them. Of course, anytime God speaks, he's talking in a specific manner. He does not waste words. He doesn't say things just to hear himself speak. But he is saying something very specific to his people. And he says in verse 2, "Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes." He likens his people to a tent. And he is saying it's time to enlarge your tent. Now, in that day, they were going through difficulty where probably the cry of the people was, well, if you can just hold your own, you're doing pretty good. If you can just keep from falling apart, you're doing better than most. But instead of God saying, now do the best you can to hold your own, try not to go backwards, try not to lose anything, try not to lessen or worsen. He is saying, I want you to go forward. Instead of getting smaller or at the best staying the same, I want you to enlarge. I want you to grow. I want to see you develop. He's working in them and he's trying to accomplish something he had desired to accomplish since he called Abraham. God is a God who has a plan in mind. He had offered to the people of Israel the promised land. At first they were excited, but then they realized the battles were coming and the difficulty of the wilderness. And instead of believing God and trusting him, they feared, they hid, they gave in to their flesh. Then when it was time to cross over and to go into the promised land, they once again feared and did not obey. And it kept getting setbacks. They keep going backwards instead of forwards. And I'm afraid if we aren't careful, that's what's going to happen to us. And I believe in this day, even though this difficulty is going on all around us, instead of God saying, you try to hold your own, you try to just hang on to what you've got. Try not to lose. Try not to back up. I believe God's saying to his people, I want you to enlarge. I want you to go further than you have before. We're talking this morning about sanctification. Now he mentions again, there's a tent involved. And the best I can realize when I think about a tent, I think about three different things. Number one, size. How big it is. You make a tent or plan on a tent according to how many people you want to put inside or what use you'll have for it. Size is important, but also stability. You can have a great looking tent and just the right size tent, but if it's not strong, it'll fall when the first breeze comes through. So size is important and stability is important. But then also strength. You can have a tent that's the right size and have the cords that are tied down securely, but if the material it's made of is not strong enough, it'll rip easily and you're going to get wet. So we find here that God's talking to his people and likening them to a tent. And he says, I want you to enlarge. And again, I say, I believe that's what the Lord wants us to do this morning. To enlarge our boundary, to go further than we ever have before, to experience something from God like never before, to enjoy his presence perhaps like we never have before, to have him use us perhaps like never before. One thing for sure, we're like Israel. They have yet today to experience all that God promised them. Just as far as the land he promised them. He promised them approximately 300,000 square miles of what we would call the promised land. And to date, Israel's only occupied at the most 30,000. About 10% of what God promised them have they enjoyed and occupied and experienced. And God is telling them then and even now, I have more for you than what you're experiencing. And I believe that's what God says to us this morning. He says that to His churches. I have more for you than what you're experiencing. He says to His children, to His child, to you as a Christian, I have more for you than what you're experiencing. And I am calling on you this morning, says our Father, to enlarge your tent. Grow bigger, grow closer than you ever have before. He says this because of size. I've already said the size of a tent makes a difference. How big it is makes such a difference. And God is saying to His people, I want you to get bigger. Not stay the same, not grow smaller, but get bigger. It reminds me of the verse that it says in Deuteronomy 1:6. Listen to what God said to His people. Ye have dwelt long enough in this mound. He says, you've stayed here long enough. It's time to get on the move. It's time to move out. It's time to go. It's time to possess the land that I have promised you. And I believe this morning our God is saying, even in the midst of what we're facing, and perhaps because of what we're facing in our country and the world, it is time to expand. It is time to enlarge. It's time to grow and to develop. Wouldn't it be a wonderful time just to get closer to God? To enjoy His presence, perhaps like we never have before? To see Him work through us, perhaps like never before? When I think about a tent and I think about what God's saying here, I think about size. He likens His people to a tent. And He likens us to a tent as far as His people today. Some people who have been saved for years, listen, have never grown. Some who have been saved for years are still in diapers, spiritually speaking. Some who have been saved for years, still, it takes nothing to cause them to fall or to fail or to get upset or to quit God. That's what Paul talked about when he wrote to the Corinthians people. He said, I could not speak unto you as a spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes unto Christ. He said, I should have been able to tell you some things. I should have been able to give you some meat of the word, but you couldn't tolerate it. You're still drinking milk. You can barely accept the milk of the word, let alone the meat of the word. That's what the Hebrew writers had in mind when he says, when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have yet the need for some to tell you the most simple things. He said, you've been saved long enough. You've been exposed to enough truth to where you ought to be able to teach others. And now, instead of being able to teach others, you have to have people teach you the simplest of things. I'm talking this morning about the tent of God. And He says, enlarge, get bigger. Size makes a difference when it comes to a tent. And size makes a difference when it comes to what God's saying. He wants us to grow. He wants us to develop. He wants us to enlarge. Now, it isn't easy. If you've ever worked with a tent, they make those just pop-up things now. Boy, it wasn't like that when I was in the Cub Scouts. You had to work when it was putting up tent time. And you think about enlarging a tent during this time. When they made the tent material and they made the cords and they cut the stakes, and God is saying, I want you to enlarge your tent, which means they had to make more curtains. They had to sew it together. They had to make longer and stronger cords. They had to make stakes that were longer and stronger and redo everything that was done. But God says it's not going to be easy, but it'll be worth it. And I'll tell you, getting closer to God's not easy. Getting closer to Him isn't just something that's going to automatically happen. It takes effort. It takes work. It takes dedication. It takes sacrifice. But it's worth it. When I think about this tent, I think about the word size and how God says, I want you to enlarge. I want you to grow. And that's one reason why church is so important. God designed the church to help His people come in, to help us to grow, to where we won't stay the same, to where we won't shrink down, where we won't run out, where we won't lose what we've gotten as far as our walk and fellowship with the Lord. That's why church is so important. But listen, that's why communion is so important. That you spend time with Him, just you and Him. I don't know if you've noticed, but we hadn't been able to come to church regularly lately. And just a Sunday morning service, I tell you one thing, it isn't going to be enough, but I got news for us. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night isn't enough. We need church, sure we do, but we need more than church. We need communion, where we can get along with the Lord and commune with Him and just from Him get things to help us to grow, to enlarge our tent, to grow spiritually, to get closer to Him. That's why we need the things of God. When I think about the tent, I think about size, but I also think about someone. He is saying, I want you to make your tent bigger, where you can get more people inside, where their families were growing and people were developing and where there was more people being able to get into the tent. He didn't want them just to have a big tent just for the show of it. He didn't want them just to have mansion tents, if you will, just to show off. He wanted them to enlarge their tent that it might be a benefit to those who could come in, enjoy the fellowship, enjoy a meal, where you'd have more room, listen to me, to reach out to help people in your tent. When I think about a tent, I think about a size. I think about also someone. He's wanting them to help themselves to where they can be a help to somebody else. Before you can help somebody, you got to get a help for yourself. You cannot help someone spiritually if you are not spiritually equipped yourself first. And He says, I want you to enlarge your tent to where you'll be equipped to help more people. To help somebody who is hurting. Somebody in your neighborhood is going to be hurting. And they'll walk by your tent door. You need to realize. You need to watch them and see the tear in their eyes. And say, come in, let's talk about it. Somebody may walk by your tent door that's hungry. You need to see that and say, come here, I want to feed you a meal. I'm telling you, He says, enlarge your tent. Not just so you'll have some extra room, where you can stretch out better. He's saying, I want you to enlarge your tent where you can help more people. And that's how it is with the things of God. There's people hurting all around us. Now, I know we can't go and visit. I know we can't go and contact each other physically so much now, but you've got a telephone. You've got the mailman where you can send the card. You've got the text. You've got a way to communicate. There's people who are hurting. I know you're hurting. I know you're afraid. I know you have needs. But God's saying, enlarge your tent to where you don't just think of yourself, but you think about somebody else. You can be a blessing to someone this morning. God can use you to help someone. And if that's going to happen, you first need strength yourself to get to them. You can't be a blessing unless you have first been blessed. You can't help unless you've first been helped yourself by God. And that's what He's saying. I want you to enlarge your tent. I want you to spread out because there's somebody who needs you. There's someone who's hurting, and they need somebody who'll listen and pray. I thought about this. I wonder how much of a help Job was after his ordeal. You know, we read a lot about what Job went through his trials and through his problems and through his suffering. And I'll tell you one thing, he suffered like no man I know of except our Lord Jesus Christ. But I have thought, wonder what blessing Job was after the trial was over. Wonder how many people came by Job's house and said, Job, could I just talk to you a minute? I'm going through something, and I know you understand. I know you've gone through what I'm going through, and I need a person who'll listen. I need a shoulder to cry on. I wonder how many people Job helped because he had gone through it before. I want to tell you right now, like never before, the doors are open to help people. Maybe they'll listen now when they wouldn't have before. Maybe God's broken them down now where they're willing to listen now where they wouldn't before. Maybe they're going through something that's hurting and they need somebody to care and somebody to listen. We need to be that people. He said to enlarge your tent, not for yourself, but for someone else to be a blessing to them. When I think about a tent, I think about size, and I think about someone, but I also think about storms. He said, enlarge your tent. Well, now that's one thing. But he also said, strengthen thy cords and redo thy stakes. Well, one thing for sure, if you make a bigger tent and leave the same cords and the same stakes, that tent's not going to last long. The first breeze is going to take it down to the river, and you're going to be without a roof over your head. So I think about storms. I think about when the trials come. He said not only make it bigger, but make it stronger. Listen, to where it will endure the storm and face the wind and keep the rain out. We're facing a pretty severe storm right now, to be honest. It could be a lot worse. I mean, it could be a lot worse. I know it's bad. I know that. I'm not dumb. I'm not blind. But it could be a lot worse. But during this severe storm, we need a tent that's going to hold out. We need a tent that's going to be secure. We need a tent that's, again, stable and strong. And he said, I want you to strengthen your tent. Not just the size, but the stability. Not just the size, but the strength I want you to increase. There's storms going on right now. We need to realize we need strength. Without spiritual strength, first storm comes through, we're going to crumble. Without the spiritual strength that I'm saying we need to get now. He said, enlarge your tent now. Strengthen your tent now. Drive your stakes deeper now. Because there's storms coming. And friend, like never before, we need to do that. We need to strengthen our tent and stabilize our tent and enlarge our tent to make sure our lives are secure and we'll not be overcome by the trials. The smallest of trials now, sadly, overwhelm the average Christian. The slightest of temptation, sadly, the average Christian gives in to quickly and easily. Somebody just says something about us and our feelings get hurt. One little trial, one little problem comes by and we're overwhelmed. He said, you don't have to be like that. Listen to me. I've got more for you than that. There's more of the grace of God available than what you're experiencing. I want you to experience all I have for you. He says in 2 Thessalonians 1:4, we ourselves glory in you. Listen to what Paul said. So that we ourselves glory in you, that the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Paul said to these believers, I am amazed at you and how you've trusted in God's grace to get you through the tribulations and persecutions you're facing. He says, I am amazed at you. But was he really saying that? No, he was saying, I am amazed at the grace of God that's brought you through. You've trusted His grace. You've involved yourself in His power. And God's seeing you through, and it is amazing just to watch it happen. That's the kind of Christian we ought to be. In James chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." Those that are willing and able to endure. I'm talking about the strength of the tent when the storms come. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." I said last week or the week before, we're in a battle. We are soldiers. It's not supposed to be easy. It isn't going to be easy, but we're in a fight. And we all, by the way, are victors already. I'm talking about this morning about enlarging your tent. He says, go further than you ever have before. I got so much more for you than what you've ever experienced. Now I want you to experience it. I want you to experience what I have promised for you. And I ask you this question. How can I do that? I think we all would agree it would be nice. I think we all would say, I'd like that. To be stronger, to grow, to develop, to be more mature, to be able to endure problems and to not fall apart, and to be able to be used of the Lord and to love Him more and serve Him more fervently. Oh yeah, I'm all for that, but how in the world do I do that? How do I enlarge my tent? How do I strengthen my cords? How do I drive my stakes in further and deeper? Let me tell you, first, surrender. I have talked to more than one person, not just our church folks, but so many who have just absolutely been overwhelmed at the circumstances. And it is as though there is no help. It is as though the defeat has absolutely overcome them and they have just given up and all is hopeless and there is no help. But I want to tell you this morning, there is help. We are not defeated. We are not really even facing that much compared to what we could be facing, what other Christians have faced in the past, what Israel faced in the past. We're not facing anything compared to what they face. But I tell you one thing, God's grace is sufficient. But that means, first, I must surrender to God's will. Surrender to what He's doing in my life right now. In my community, my county, my state, my country, my world. Just say, Lord, it's your job, it's your plan, it's your world, it's your life. Do with me what you will. How can I enlarge my tent? How can I strengthen my cords? And how can I dig my stakes in deeper? By surrendering. Lord, my life is in your hand. My will is no longer important. What I want, what I desire does not matter. What you want is what matters. First, surrender. Yield it to Him. Know you can trust Him, by the way. You're not surrendering to somebody. Have you ever hired somebody to do a job and you really wondered, I hope they do a good job, but I really don't know. Somebody said they did a good job, but I'm not too sure. Have you ever asked somebody to do something and you wondered, are they going to do a good job? Well, I'll tell you something. You don't have to worry about God. You don't have to wonder about what he's going to do or if he's able. He is able, and He'll do it better than anybody, and He'll do it right. I'd say first, how do you enlarge your tent? You surrender. Number one, surrender. Number two, solitude. I said this before already from this porch. Get alone with the Lord. Get alone with Him. Most of us are seeing less people than we have in a long time. Most of us are spending more time at home than we have in a long time, if ever. During this time, don't just be alone. Don't just sit around. Don't just do nothing. Don't just stay busy around the house. Don't just do household projects. Spend some time with God. Solitude. Alone with Him. You know what? Jesus did that when He walked this earth. Jesus Himself pulled away from the multitude, left everybody, every need, sick people, He let stay sick. Dying people, He let die. People who needed Him, He let them alone. And He went alone with the Father and spent time with Him. It says in Matthew 14, verse 23, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. The world needed Him, but He said for a time, I want to and I need to spend time with my Father. And if He saw that need, we ought to see that need. Like never before, we need to spend time with Him. Solitude. Just talk to Him. Ask Him for help. Tell Him how you feel. Tell Him what's on your mind. Remind Him of the circumstances of your life. That's okay. Pray to Him, talk to Him like He's your best friend, because He is. Talk to Him like He's your Father, because He is. Talk to Him like He's God, because He is. Solitude, spending time with Him. Jesus Himself said in Matthew 6:6, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, then you talk to Him. How can I enlarge my tent? How can I actually grow during this time? Number one, remember, listen to me, surrender. Number two, solitude. Number three, study. Get in this Bible. Get this Bible in you. It's more than a book of fairy tales. It's more than just a Mother Goose tale. It's more than just a love story. It's more than just a bunch of information. It is God speaking to us. And it's amazing how God can take you to the very right verse, the very right chapter, the very right word that you need for that particular need, that particular time, that particular problem, that thing you're fearing, that thing you're facing, that trouble you're going through. It's amazing how God can speak to His people, but if He's going to speak to us, we must listen. We must open this book and listen to Him as we read it. When you hear a preacher preach or a teacher teach, listen to what God says through them. I encourage you. We have all kinds of technology. You need to be careful, because you can get some weirdos and wackos, but listen to preaching while you can, while you're at home, while you're driving down the road in your car, whatever you do. I'm talking about study. Get the Scripture in you. How can I enlarge my tent? Getting the Word of God in my heart, in my head, and in my life. Listen to what God says. Listen to Him. And then meditate on what He says. Oh, I'll tell you one thing so many times. You see, what our problem is, many times is our thinking. We're thinking bad thoughts. We're thinking about the trouble. We're thinking about the trial. We're thinking about the pain. We're thinking about the issue. We're thinking about the problems. We're thinking about how impossible it is. We're thinking about the problem, and we're forgetting about Him. Meditate on the Word of God. On the things of God. I have no idea. I couldn't count it if I could. I'm thousands of times, no doubt, that I've been down or defeated or discouraged or mad or whatever. And I got to thinking about the Word of God. I got to pondering on one verse, one word, one truth, one line, one principle in the Word. And all of a sudden, my thinking changed. All of a sudden, my attitude changed. Where I was down, now I was up. Where I was gloomy, now I was glad. Where I was sorry and sad, I was rejoicing. You know why? Because the Word of God, when you meditate on it, think about it. It literally means to revolve. You've ever gone through a revolving door? Well, if you don't get out, you'll keep going around. that revolving door just keeps going around and around and around. And that's what meditation is. You keep thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it over and over and over. And every time you think about it, something new gets added. It gets richer. It gets bigger. It gets better. And you know what? In the process, you get better. Meditate. I'm talking about enlarging our tent. In this day, when we think about it, if I can just hold on, if I can just hold on, if I just don't go backwards, I'll tell you what, God says, don't go backwards, don't hold your own, go on. I've got more than you've ever dreamed of. I have more available than you've ever experienced. How can I experience that? How can I enlarge my tent? Number one, surrender. Number two, solitude. Number three, study. Number four, steadfastness. Do it and do it again. And do it again, and do it again, and do it again. I promise you there's going to be battles, there's going to be trials, there's going to be depression if we let it. There's going to be discouragement if we give in to it. There's all kinds of bad things going on right now, but there's help to be had. And you can't just do it one day and forget it. You got to do it the next day. You can't just do it one time and forget it. You have to do it another time. You can't just do it 1 hour. You got to do it another hour and another hour and another time and another day and another week. You got to keep on doing it. Steadfastness, keep on. Keep doing it. You know what? You'll find out it's helping. You'll find out there's a difference. You'll find out things maybe outside haven't gotten any better. May have even got worse, but inside things are better. God said it isn't time to shrink down. It isn't time to run and hide. It isn't time to just try and hold on to go forward. I have so much for you, you have never experienced before. Could I remind you, 300,000 square miles promised to Israel, and they've only occupied 30,000 at the most. You know what? They're going to get that rest of that land to the millennium. But I want to tell you one thing. I don't want to wait to the millennial. I look forward to heaven, but I don't want to wait to heaven to have a good time. I'm looking forward to my troubles being gone in heaven, but I don't want to wait until then. My troubles can be gone and dealt with now. I'm looking forward to rejoicing in heaven, but I don't have to wait until then. I'm looking forward to seeing God in face to face when I see Him in heaven, but I can see Him in spirit now. I can see Him working in my life now, and I want to have everything He has for me, not just for myself, but for God's will and God's glory. Could I read it again? Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. You've been here long enough. It's time to move on. It's time to march. Time for victory. Time for battle, sure, but victory. I have already promised it to you. This morning, we're all going through a battle of sorts. It's all affecting us differently. It's a very unique time. I don't know of any other time just like this because we're all in one battle and we're all in it together. But how it affects you and me may be completely different, but I know this. In spite of the storm, He says, make your tent bigger. Make your tent stronger. Make your cords stronger. Drive your stakes in deeper. And I've got something good for you. This morning, if you're not saved, God sure does want to save you. He loved you enough to send His Son to die for you. Jesus died for you, took your place on Calvary, and rose again 3 days later to win victory, to provide the opportunity of forgiveness for you. And this morning as you're listening, will you call on Him and ask Him to save you, to forgive you, if you never have before? If you are saved, I'll tell you what, this is a unique time, but it's a time when God's people can come out better instead of worse, better instead of bitter. Oh, may we move on. May we leave the mound, enlarge our tent like never before. Let's pray. Father, help us. Oh, Lord, we look to you, we trust you to speak to hearts of those who are lost, to convict them, and to save them right now. May they right there in that car, or by the recording, by whoever they're hearing or seeing this, may you convict them, draw them, and may they be saved. I pray for us who are here this morning who need help, need some extra grace. Oh God, touch us, help us, stir in our hearts with a desire to go further, experience more, be used greater than we ever had before. I give you glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.